prayer of a righteous man avails much. The word, you know what the word fervent means in that passage and in other passages? It means red hot. A hot heart in prayer. It means that they were not passive in prayer. It means that we're not sort of mouthing prayers in a rote or mechanical sort of way. It means that we're engaged in our hearts in this matter of prayer, and that we are exercised over the subject matter and over the individuals for whom we're praying. We care about them, and therefore our hearts are hot. The fervent prayers of a righteous man and a righteous woman avails much. What are the benefits or the results of diligence? Well, I don't need to dwell on these, but I think we should touch on them. Book of Proverbs, chapter 10. Going back to Proverbs, remember I said that we would be looking at some of the benefits coming from Proverbs, and this is where Proverbs focuses, is on the benefits of diligence, of commitment. I'm going to call the word commitment as another synonym here for diligence. Proverbs, chapter 10. And who has a slack hand, that was laziness we talked about last week, becomes poor. But the hand of the diligent makes rich. And you find the same sort of thing over chapter 13, where he says in verse 4, 13 and verse 4, Proverbs 13, verse 4, the soul of a lazy man desires. Remember that was one of the escape mechanisms last week, wishful thinking. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing. Yeah, I want this, but I'm not going to do anything to get it. But the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. That is, God has developed not only his divine economy based on his own faithfulness and his own commitment to be thorough in everything that he does, but he has made our economy to be based on the fact that only by being diligent and only by working hard and only by being thorough will we receive any reward. You know, we are said to be, in the West, and this is no longer the case as much as it once was, to be people who value hard work. Hard work has been associated in the West, particularly with those who have been influenced by the Reformation, as a result of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That anyone who is a believer is one who works with con gusto. Where is Naomi? Con gusto. Right? With enthusiasm, with commitment, with verve. Oh, I love that word, with verve. That's how we should work as believers in our lives. And that's the economy of God. That's how any economy works. His economy, our economy, any economy, works only on the basis of hard work. Diligence, hard work, is a hallmark of the believer, or should be. Proverbs 11. Not only do we have material benefits, as we just read, but in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 27, 11:27, we read, he who earnestly, and the word earnestly here means diligently, seeks good, finds favor. But trouble will come to him who seeks evil. What he's saying is that there is favor that results. That is to say, people are going to respond positively to individuals who demonstrate the kind of commitment that we're talking about. There is no boss that I know who doesn't delight in a self-starter worker who applies herself, himself, in a task, in a situation. They just rejoice over the fact because they know they can depend on that individual. And that is the biggest blessing that anyone who has an employee could possibly have. Favor is a result. You're going to be positively looked at and looked upon if you are a hard worker, is what is being said here. Now, Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, another benefit. Besides material benefits, besides favor, we find here in Proverbs chapter 12, at the beginning of verse 24, the hand of the diligent will rule. The hand of the diligent will rule. But the lazy man will be put to forced labor. The hand of the diligent will rule. It means the harder working you are, all things being equal, and they are not always equal because unfortunately prejudice and favoritism does enter into the issue of promotion sometimes in the real world. But all things being equal, people who are fair and who observe hard work are likely to promote the person who has demonstrated that kind of faithfulness and that kind of enthusiasm and that kind of diligence in their work. They're going to be given more responsibility. They will rule. And so we're going to be receiving not only wealth, not only favor, but honor in this particular situation, as we've just been talking about. Now, chapter 22 of this same book, Proverbs 22, and verse 29. Proverbs 22 and verse 29. Proverbs 22, 29. Do you see a man who excels in his work? And I have here in the little margin, is prompt in his business. He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. That is to say, there will be honor. There will be recognition. Whether you're standing before a king or not, that's beside the point. The important point is that you will always be recognized. It will always be noted when you apply yourself. It does not mean that people will be fair with you in that regard. They will not always be fair with you, even though you have applied yourself. But it'll make them more guilty when they do you dirty, because they're doing dirty to a person who's a good employee. Understand that. Small compensation. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy, back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. This is a fun topic. It's very convicting, isn't it? Deuteronomy chapter 28. We're almost done. Wealth, favor, honor, blessing. Listen, 28:1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. That was a message to the nation of Israel. You want to be recognized? You want to be given honor and favor? Then you diligently obey my word. Verse 2, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. I love that phrase. Nothing like, you know, you look around, they're gaining on you. Guess what's gaining on you? The blessing. They'll overtake you. Isn't that a neat phrase? Blessings are going to come right over the top. I love it. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your ground and the increase of your herds, etc. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out, and all the rest. Blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing is promised to those who are faithful. And guess what happens at the end of the age when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ? The sole issue will be the issue of diligence, faithfulness, commitment. Sole issue for which we will be evaluated in our lives. And so at the end of the age, when he looks at those things in our lives that have been done out of faith and done faithfully, he'll say, well done, good and faithful, diligent servant. And then he says to the one who slacked, you wicked and lazy servant. Laziness is the opposite of diligence. We looked at that last week. We're not in that category, thankfully, because we have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. The issue is, how many things will he be able to say of us and to us, well done, good and diligent and faithful servant? How many things? We hope many. We hope many. I'm going to close with this. Romans chapter 12. We've seen the benefits from the book of Proverbs of diligence. We've seen that God himself is diligent. We've seen all these areas in which we are to be diligent. But it's kind of summarized for us nicely, succinctly, here in Romans chapter 12. And Romans chapter 12 is dealing with the issue of walking in the Spirit, that using the gifts of the Spirit, that is living the Christian life as God has designed it and as He has empowered us to live it. And so we read in Romans chapter 12, and this is our concluding verse because it really wraps it all up nicely. Verse 11. Kind of neat how the package comes together, isn't it? Not lagging in diligence. If you're filled with the Spirit, and God is a diligent being who is faithful and who continually does everything that He says, then if you're filled with the Spirit and you're being obedient to all of His Word, you're going to be faithful and you're going to be diligent in doing what He says. Diligence is your response. Your response as a believer who understands who God is and what God has done for you and what God expects of you. It's the supernatural, natural response of a believer. Not lagging in diligence. The word for lagging, it's an interesting kind of an oxymoron. Don't be slothful in diligence. Kind of an interesting phrase. The word lagging is the word which means to be slothful, to be slow. In terms of your response to God, don't put it on slow-mo. Respond promptly. Promptly and sincerely is what God would like from each one of us. Hear my Lord, send me. That is a diligent response when God calls upon us. But secondly, in verse 11, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit. Fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man. Fervent in spirit. Your whole spirit, your whole heart should be hot for the Lord. There ought to be, you know, if somebody brings a thermometer near you or some kind of measuring device near a believer when it comes to serving Jesus Christ, suddenly that thermometer marker should start going up because you're hot in your spirit. You're fervent in your spirit. The important thing here is that not only are you not slow, that's a negative kind of way of putting the subject, but it's an interesting way, not slothful in your diligence, but fervent, hot in your spirit. You should be enthusiastic, and that should be clear to all who meet you. And then finally, why? Why? Serving the Lord. Why wouldn't we want to respond wholeheartedly with all that we've got when we know whom we are serving? You serve the Lord Christ. Therefore, you do it with all your might. Therefore, you do it heartily as unto the Lord. Nothing should be half-hearted for the believer. Not washing dishes, and not going on short-term mission trips, and not teaching a class, and not doing any mundane task. It should all be done with a warm heart, with a love that shows forth the love of Christ Himself, who the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, that when He was upon the cross, He rejoiced, looking forward to the results of His own work on our behalf. He committed Himself. He set His face to Jerusalem. He did not turn back. He did it with complete commitment. And He said at the end, Tetelestai, it is finished. Father, I've come and I've done the work You've given me to do. It is finished. And one day, may we say to our Heavenly Father, when we stand before Him, as we will stand before the Lord Jesus to evaluate our lives, concerning at least many things, may we say we did what You asked. We did it with a loving, enthusiastic heart. We did it to demonstrate to the world whose we are. Let's go to the Lord now in a time of prayer. Father, we bow before You today because You have touched our hearts, You have touched our lives in so many incredible ways. We know that our responses often flag and lag behind the truth of who we are and whose we are. Father, we just pray that instead it would not be an affected kind of enthusiasm, but rather an overflow from the realization and the reality of who we are and whose we are. May the world see the fervent spirit, not because we work it up, but because we can't help it. Thank you, Father, because you've given us such a wonderful, wonderful heart to love you, and that you have shown us so many mercies in our lives. May we respond to all of that with hearts that are on fire for you, with lives that are committed and focused on the things you've asked us to do. May we do all things as unto you. May we do them with our might. May we do them heartily. May we do them fervent in spirit. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.